Life's getting better.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're discussing a film about disclosure, the disclosure dialogues. Producer Ron James joins us. He's worked with Chris for a number of years, so they've put lots of things together, and they've assembled, and I've seen parts of it already because I have a copy. I actually got a copy from one of the people at the International UFO Conference, and it's really well done, very professionally done, and that's not always the case in a lot of these documentaries that get bandied about in the paranormal field. They don't know what professional means, and this is professional work. It's really good work and certainly worth watching. Chris, why don't you pick up on the questioning here, even though you're a participant in the project?
Yeah, I'm wearing two hats today, Gene.
Right, he's got basically, he's also grown his beard back because of this.
Well, I do.
Yeah, you know, Chris is like, I'm not a believer in disclosure. All of my listeners know that. I can't put my name on a disclosure film. And if you watch the video at the EBE Awards, he's very funny. He's like, yeah, you know, just don't drink the True Believer Kool-Aid, people. And so to have somebody involved in this project that is that objective and really coming from a skeptical standpoint, it's one thing that's made it possible for Chris and I to do so many films together is that we both share a journalistic, both integrity and approach to the stuff. We're not interested in believing for the sake of believing, and we're not interested in tweaking something to the point where we're imposing our opinion on other people. We want to put out stuff and just, you know, that any layman can watch and at least get a basic summary to develop their own opinion.
So in a case like this, when you come up with a project like this, you're giving a number of viewpoints from a wide range of people and then hoping that people will look at this and maybe make their own determination. And I guess we should ask about this before we go into any other projects, and there's some listener questions, too, in our forums. And that is, can we take something like this, either the core documentary or the 5-DVD set, and present it to scientists, to the government, and say, okay, tell us what you know. How do we get them to do that? Can we get them to do it if they know anything?
You know, it's very interesting how many people have tried to do that with the Disclosure Project and with, you know, Edgar Mitchell has tried to initiate, he founded Noetic Sciences. He's tried to initiate countless conversations, and supposedly there are other people who are collecting the archives and the eyewitness testimony of people who, you know, are willing to do that. It still hasn't hit the mainstream, and I think it's still dangerous. You know, the idea that, yes, we would love the next version of Disclosure Dialogues to be a bunch of people that came forward and really disclosed. That would be fantastic. But the one thing that we're totally aware of is, and this is very interesting that I even noticed it throughout the production and didn't really put my finger on it until it was done, is we have a lot of people debating how much the government knows and how much the government has failed to disclose, and how much, you know, how much the government is hiding or not hiding. Nobody in this field, and nowhere in the evidence presented, is anybody debating the idea that we're definitely being visited or monitored by something we can't see. And I think that this production is definitely for people who already get that. And the people that don't get that can go back and read some of they can read some of Richard Dolan's books, UFOs in the National Security State. There's plenty of evidentiary publications and videos out there that establish pretty well. I think Stanton Friedman said it best. If you take it in front of a court of law and you lay out the evidence, you would almost certainly get a conviction for the existence of this kind of phenomenon. We're not asking that question in this production. We're not asking if they're here. We're just asking, why isn't the government telling us about it?
Now, putting yourself in the shoes of people in the government, let's say they know that E.T. is here, that E.T. is flying, obviously unfettered, because they certainly can get ahead of our weaponry if it came to that, certainly far in advance of us. Doesn't that have incredible consequences that have to be considered? It's not something you can release willy-nilly and say, well, you know, people will accept it. Yeah, I suppose they will, but organized religions around the world are going to have difficulty, especially if E.T. gets here and says, well, their religion, their concept of religion is totally different from ours. Or they say, you know what, those things that happened in biblical times, that was us. So that's one possibility. It can destroy religions or change our belief systems, cause all sorts of crises. What happens to the energy industry, oil industry, if we learn there's free energy out there? We only have to learn the secret. We only have to learn the alien technology. Or what if the aliens are Trojan horses? They're here to take us over. You consider all these possibilities. How does the government react? They may not know if ET is friendly or not.
You know, it's amazing because you just summarized a very big part of our film and also a really big part of the discussions. We address all these issues. Paula Harris really lays it out quite well. And she's like, you know, what are they going to admit? And all they do is they unveil a tapestry of lies. It goes back years and years and years and years. And Richard Bowen has a very interesting point about if this is really happening with all of the money that's been sent down into black projects and everything else, who's going to be accountable? People are going to go to jail. There's going to be lawsuits. And George Knapp, he's like, you know, how are they going to admit that they've been lying all this time without serious repercussions? And then, of course, Danny Sheehan goes in very deep into the whole religious and philosophical and social implications of what it means. So you touch upon those subjects, and in this documentary and in the conversations that ensue on the other four discs, you really get to sink your teeth into the both sides of all of those topics.
The thing that I found interesting about the religious question that Danny Sheehan brought up, and it's a point well taken, the Catholic Church had the Many Worlds Edict that was released, I think, by a panel assigned by the Vatican. This is 1277. So, you know, the Many Worlds Edict, if you look at that and look at the stand of in Danny's case, being a devout Catholic, he's really up to speed on the process that we've seen unfold over centuries with Rome and the Roman Catholic Church. And then, you know, other people brought up, Peter Robbins brought up a very interesting point about the Islamic faith and how they view the paranormal. It's much different from the standard rational sort of age of reason-esque Western world. So these are all kinds of multicultural issues that all kind of dovetail together in a very interesting way. And my personal favorite subject in the whole project was these cultural questions, and also the possible culpability of the government knowing obviously more than we do about this subject. And I've always contended because they know more than we do, they're that much more confused than we are. It's when you start looking at all this stuff, it really is a kaleidoscope that you have to slow the turning kaleidoscope down to really identify where all the pieces lock together in the subject.
And then they change again.
Huh?
Yeah, I said all the pieces lock together, and just when you think you recognize exactly, you see the whole picture, the picture changes.
That's been part and parcel of UFO research. They try to find different patterns. We had a 5-year pattern for UFO flaps. We had a 7-year pattern, I think, at one time. All sorts of patterns. And when you get the thing nailed down, suddenly there is no pattern.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not going to be a pattern because we're not dealing with creatures or phenomenon or anything else that operates in a way that we can define. And so, you know, it's just like with SETI looking for radio waves. As many radio waves as we send out into outer space, if there's something going on with the way the universe handles this type of stuff. Either advanced civilizations or beyond radio, never invented it. You know, there's a lot of different ways, but we're constantly trying to look for something we can't see with eyes that operate in a way that they've operated ever since we began searching. So, you know, basically we've got to look at the idea that none of this stuff fits in our boxes. And I think that once we do that and really get open to listening to what the physicists are saying, what the scientists are saying, or what we're discovering about the universe in general, that's when we're really going to be able to start seeing how this all fits together and maybe even get an idea of what's really going on.
Well, part of the problem here is we're dealing with something that could be alien, and now we're trying to basically switch it over to our own logic and interpretation of the universe. You know, we believe the universe is this, but an advanced race, it could be from another dimension, doesn't matter. An advanced race may have a totally different idea or concept of the universe, possibly a lot more accurate than ours. Ron James joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with a WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris, we're discussing disclosure and lots more with Ron James, a conscious media producer. He was one of those responsible for the 5-DVD set, The Disclosure Dialogues, 12 hours of discussions with lots of people in the UFO field about disclosure, should there be, could there be, can there be. Of course, they had the award-winning documentary It Could Happen Tomorrow, swept this year's EBE Awards at the International UFO Conference just a few weeks ago. And we've been talking about the government and what did they know and when did they know it. And I guess the other question we ask when we talk about the possibility of there being a long-term UFO secret, and that is, with different administrations, different political philosophies, how does a government keep that a secret for 60, 70 years? How do you do it?
You know, that's an interesting question, and people that know the government on the surface know that you just can't. I think that you look back at the history and the stories and the lore that involves the creation of top-secret, below-the-radar subgroups, you know, like the Majestic stories. It's the only way. I mean, and people that are so scared to tell what they know, and then, of course, huge compartmentalization, where somebody might know a little something, like, oh, okay, here's an alloy, we don't know where it came from, but they don't know that it came off a spaceship in a hangar two doors down. The speculation of how the secret's kept, there's a lot of people that say, well, sure, there's a way. And there's a lot of people that say, you know, the fact that no secret is leaked is proof that there's absolutely nothing going on because the government can't keep secrets. So what's the answer to that question? It goes into the same realm of speculation as many of the other questions.
Question here, Gene, from one of our forum posters at forum.theparacast.com. And this comes from Sentry, who's been a forum poster for about a year. And he has three questions, one of which we already kind of looked at, but we didn't really look at the implications of. He says, how does the fact that there are a few UFO-based religions complicate the government's position on discussing extraterrestrial life? And I think that's a good question because it takes that whole cultural concept, the whole cultural aspect of this, it looks at it even more closely. And that is, I mean, look at the Raelians, the Sun Temple, some of the groups that have sprung up around the contactees. I would almost consider C. SETI kind of bucking to become some sort of religion. The Stan Romanek case, I think, is supplying a lot of people with some spiritual elements. James Gilliland up at Trout Lake in Washington, for instance, has quite a solid, you know, group of true believers about his message and what he's getting from this phenomena. What do you think, Ron? Do you think that the potential for establishing some sort of deification of these entities might be one of the things that's holding the government back from disclosing?
No, I think that really, if there is anything like that going on, it's going to be the realization that we've been creating deification of them through all the major religions. That when we realize principles like Genesis Revisited and some of the other stuff, that what we're calling angels really aren't, what we're calling gods on some level really are not. And so I don't think it's so much that we're going to deify something that has not been deified. I think it's that we're going to reach a very, very hard to swallow definition for things that have already been widely deified.
Well, of course, we've done that in fiction already, like the TV series Stargate SG-1, where they depict an alien race of parasites that first appeared in ancient times and made slaves of us.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like, what do they say about fiction and truth? So I think that as we begin to compare the alien question with religions, we're going to find out that many of our religious traditions and of our spiritual stories have an alien twist. And, of course, that's not like anything groundbreaking that we're suggesting here. The Ancient Alien series talks about it at length. And then Richard Dolan in our project talks to Danny Sheehan about that. I mean, where does it end? You know, pretty soon people are going to say, well, then Jesus was an alien. And I think that when you actually lay that out, well, okay, could Jesus have been an alien? That describes it right there. That in one sentence, in one question, really echoes the tremors that would rock through the world upon, you know, further disclosure and further understanding. So, yeah, was Jesus an alien? Well, who knows, but that's a question that people might not really want to come to grips with.
Well, that would be up to the aliens to answer if they chose to answer it. And then the other question is, could we accept what they look like? I don't mean insectoids. You know, we see a praying mantis, and that's E.T. I'm not talking about gray aliens. I'm saying is if there's E.T. out there, and there certainly are thousands, millions, billions of planets that may harbor life, we're learning more about that every day, that might be possible gradual disclosure. Okay, if they're too alien to us, will it be like the movie Contact, where they have to assume a look that is something we can accept and deal with? The question is, how do we cope with this truth?
I think we're living on a planet where there's such diverse life forms that if you just look at everything from the microscopic bugs that live in your bed all the way to lizards and snakes and insects and other microorganisms, we're already exposed to the idea that life has many, many different looks, and many of which are grotesque to us. So it would, I think that it would have to be something really, really bizarre and way outside the box of life on Earth to create an issue where we're really having a hard time with what they look like. I mean, we've seen insanely incredible and some might say very ugly, very disgusting, very strange animals right here on the planet. And so we are used to the idea that life does not always look like we might expect life to look like.
And that's a point well taken. I think, you know, again, these cultural elements and the nuances, I think, cross-culturally are a major subject of discussion in the disclosure dialogues. And I think it's a subject that we don't really talk about enough. One of the things that Danny Sheehan brought up is that disclosure has to probably, to have the best chance to succeed, it has to be a groundswell of people organizing on a grassroots level and making their elected officials accountable, their scientific community and their religious leaders accountable for this growing body of data that suggests without question that we're being visited or interacted with by something non-human and highly technological and intelligent. So I'm going to go on to another question here from Sentry. And I think this is kind of a rhetorical question, but he wants to know, is the truth already out there? Does it lie among the rumors, misinformation, and speculation? In other words, as they say about disinformation, the most effective disinformation is the truth surrounded by lies or wrapped inside of lies. Or what do you think, Ron? Do you think that we already know the answer, we just haven't pulled it out of the morass of possibilities?
Well, you know, as the film ends and I give my final narration, I talk about how humans in sooner or later are going to be a spacefaring race if we don't destroy ourselves. And that there will be a time when we're standing in our spaceships looking across the stars, just kind of chuckling about how there was ever a debate over disclosure. And what I say at the back end of the film is that, you know, how can we debate something that instinctively we should already know? And the other question is disclosure, it's already happened. The rest is detail. And I totally believe that. I think that the truth is out there.
I'll tell you what, this truth is out there, too. We'll hear about it in a moment. We have Ron James joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
There are so many benefits you can get from taking unheated, grass-fed whey protein. It helps put out the fire of inflammation and the pain it is causing, eliminate the craving for sweets or carbohydrates, better sense of well-being, weight loss, muscle strength, energy and growth, and optimal glutathione production. Glutathione is the number one means by which you detoxify all toxins, and this is vital to you feeling and looking good again. Consuming One World Whey is the most powerful way to raise glutathione. People report the normalization of blood sugar, the elimination of heavy metals and drugs, and they've reported the elimination of pain and the alleviation of constipation after 3 months on One World Whey. Children love the flavor and prefer it over junk food. One World Whey is performing mighty miracles for young and old and is superior, unique, and unprecedented from any other whey protein powder on the market. To learn how to feel and look younger or to sculpt your body the way you want it to be, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increase, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. Ron James joins us. Chris is wearing two hats here. He's co-host of the show, and he's also involved in the production of this film, The Disclosure Dialogues, 5-DVD set for just $30. And, of course, It Could Happen Tomorrow, which is the documentary that is based on that disclosure dialogue. And we're framing your questions, listeners, asked in the Paracast community forums about the implications of E.T. being here, about disclosure. And you were still asking those questions, Chris.
The last question that involves, you know, the whole subject of disclosure, we're going to go on here to some of the other work that Ron has done, and including one project that I was involved with that has to do with haunted sites. But the question is, you know, because of the fact that leaked documents, you know, with WikiLeaks and going back to the Pentagon Papers and other leaked documents, is there a possibility, do you think, Ron, that we're going to see some sort of sleeping gun evidence leaked in the form of documentation, or maybe the ultimate whistleblower coming forward with some documentation? Do you think there's a possibility of that? I personally feel there is. That's probably our best hope for any sort of disclosure by accident or by groundswell from the government. But what do you think about that? Do you think that there's a possibility that we may have an event that would be so slam dunk that the government would have to come clean?
Well, you know, George Norrie addresses this in his conversation with Cheryl Jones on one of the discs, and I like George. He's a friend of mine, and I tend to agree with him when he says he doesn't think that disclosure is going to come from government itself, but that it will come from a whistleblower, and that sooner or later, you're right, they're either going to land on the White House lawn, and the government's just going to have to say, well, yeah, we kind of knew about it, or the evidence is going to come out in some other way, and the government's just going to have to kind of keep quiet about it but acknowledge it in whatever kind of way they're able to pussyfoot around the subject. It's difficult no matter what. An event like that is going to be orchestrated. It's not like some guy that was in the astronaut program that really knows there's a base on the moon or whatever is going to come out and blow the whistle. Somebody is going to be given permission to blow the whistle. Somebody's going to actually be told to blow the whistle. So even though it's going to look like a whistleblower spontaneous event or a landing or whatever, if the government has truly been keeping this a secret, then have no doubt that when the secret comes out, it will most likely be at least somewhat orchestrated, even though it might appear not to be.
Let me ask you a question related to that, Ron, and that is, okay, we always look at the U.S. government as the source of all this information. You know, it's in there. But we're not looking at all the other governments of the world. Some of them have released some UFO information, not really maybe the best evidence, but something throwing us a bone from the various governments. Why would it be the U.S. government? What if the Chinese government says, we're going to get a leg up on this technology, we're going to do it? Or maybe Saudi Arabia. Why must it be the U.S.?
You know, that's a very interesting question, and we actually covered that again in the doc and the conversations. But I think what's going on here is that this knowledge, there is a reason it's being kept from us, and that reason makes sense to every government that has the knowledge. In other words, if in the former Soviet Union they had discovered the extraterrestrial craft, well, on some level, there were high-level talks between governments, and it was decided for a reason that we do not know that, yes, we are going to cooperate and keep this a secret. And there could have been some kind of technology share that happened. There could have been reasons that they did it. Or, as Chris has been known to say, the truth could be so shocking that no government in their right mind would reveal it to the people. You know, there's the whole possibility that the human race has been genetically engineered and that we're being grown on this planet like a crop and that we don't even know why we're here. And there's a whole possibility that maybe it started out that way, but we were given the reins and now we're being groomed to be an intergalactic society, which I think one of the reasons they're not landing on the White House lawn now is that if that is true, we need a few more generations to not only not destroy ourselves, but to evolve to the point where we are worthy of being in space. And so...
So we're not going to see Klaatu come to the White House lawn. Is that preordained that they made that decision? Someone made the decision, we can't have that revelation now, but maybe sometime in the future we will be ready.
Well, I think that if that decision was made, it wasn't made by Earthlings. I think it's being made by whoever is in the background pulling the puppet strings. I think that if, and it's a big if, but if you look back at the ancient alien theory and that these beings have had an influence on planetary evolution from almost day one, they could have terraformed Earth for all we know, and they're still involved, then it is for an end. It is for a purpose. We could be little children being raised by our parents with love. We could be cattle being raised for whatever reason. We don't know. And the reason could have changed. Maybe we reached a certain point in our evolution where some galactic council said, okay, you can no longer treat this planet as property. These beings have shown promise, and so now they have to be allowed to continue down a different path. There's so many stories out there and so many possibilities of all these different alien races that people talk about. It could all be true. None of it could be true. But the fact of the matter is there's so many different possibilities. It's hugely exciting.
Now, the other possibility here is there a gradual disclosure? And maybe we could look into that for a few moments before we go on to other topics about your other ventures in the paranormal. And that is that the government, or even the governments in concert, working together at least on some things, say, you know what, this is what's going on. We've got to get people accustomed to this reality. So we're accustomed to the fact that every so often we hear about the next Earth-like planet, M-class planet, whatever, Goldilocks planet being found in some other star system. And there are more and more of them. And we say, you know what? These are Earth-like. They seem to be the kind of planets where life can arise. Therefore, it follows that some will have intelligent life. Therefore, it follows that they may travel through outer space like we hope to do, although the space program is in shambles right now. So gradual disclosure, is this something you folks have considered that's already happening, but it's not going to basically play out for another few years?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think so.
Yeah. At the end of the film, I postulate that for sure. But what's really going on is that scientists all agree that absolutely, that you will be very hard-pressed to find a scientist in almost any field that will say, nah, there's no way there's life in the universe. They all pretty much agree that mathematically, the idea that we're the only planet in the universe with life is pretty much not possible. So the idea that there's life in outer space, that's already a widely accepted truth. And so disclosure of that, people are getting more and more used to that. We all understand it. So when we say disclosure is already happening, certainly the planet and the people on the planet have already been prepared for the idea that there's life in outer space. In fact, we all pretty much accept it now, and we're led by our scientific communities and even our religious communities at this point.
And of course, we have all the science fiction series from the 60s, Star Trek. It has been taken over. Our cultural media has already said, okay, in fiction, we have ubiquitous life around the universe. We are in touch with that life. How far do you have to go before we say, oh, by the way, they're here now?
Well, I think we're halfway there. I mean, because we're already they're here, not necessarily here on the planet, but here in the universe. There's, like I said, there's nobody in the mainstream pulpit at this point that's going to say there's no way there's life in outer space. That pretty much everybody from the scientific community, even to the churches, have all laid out either yes, there absolutely must be, or if there is, it's okay. And so when we talk about a gradual element of disclosure happening, I don't know if I'd call it a gradual disclosure as a imperative evolution. In other words, this knowledge is coming. It's already here. Is it being disclosed, or is it being unfolded as we discover it collectively? You know, that's open for debate. And always there's going to be some people with a little more knowledge than others. So when you start looking at the gray areas between what does the government know, what are they not telling us, what have they already told us, what's being filtered into the collective consciousness, it all gets very, very blurry and very, very fuzzy. But out of all of it comes, yes, as a planetary species, we already know pretty much with 100% certainty that there's life on other planets.
And this is unfolding, too. Coming next on our show, we have Ron James with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, Ron James, film producer, who's worked on a number of projects with Chris O'Brien, we're kind of wrapping up disclosure discussion because there's so much else going on. Now, one of the things you said very early here, in our paranormal universe, UFOs represent one mystery. A lot of people in the UFO field want to think there's a line of demarcation. Here's UFOs, maybe ET, that's one thing. But all the rest of this stuff, it's a different sort of phenomenon if it exists at all. But what do you think? Do you think it's all related to similar causes?
Well, I mean, certainly people have their favorite genres, and certainly people can debate about the causes. Is a ghost haunting being caused by the same thing as a UFO landing in Rendlesham Forest? In a way, yes, and in a way, no. I mean, certainly there are different manifestations of unknown phenomenon, so they're completely different. But then what ties them together is that they are all elements of what comprises our physical reality and our universe and our multiverse that we don't yet understand. So I think they're profoundly interconnected, even if they might not be directly connected.
And I agree. And I think that one thing that the UFO phenomena may represent is a collective manifestation of phenomena designed to pull us off planet, like a wind blowing, you know, dandelion seeds around your yard. We have to get off the planet and see the universe in order for our species to survive. We know there's going to be an asteroid strike. The sun's going to go supernova. Something calamitous will be happening in the future of this planet. So perhaps we know this collectively and we're pulling ourselves off planet and manifesting these types of phenomenal events to get us to start thinking about getting out into the universe. Now, having said that, perhaps there's some other type of connection on a collective level to other paranormal phenomena. I think, for instance, one of the things that excited me upon meeting Ron and finding out about his very deep interest in haunted sites, it dovetailed nicely with some of the work that I've been doing on location-specific hotspot or window areas in the San Luis Valley and elsewhere, where I was documenting UFO activity that seemed to be centered around pretty specific locations. So I see there's a connection just in the actual overall appearance of the phenomenon between hauntings and UFOs, I'd say, that there does seem, in my mind, to be a connecting point. UFOs could be likened to airborne ghosts or mysteries. I mean, they're very ghost-like in the way they can appear and disappear, violate the laws of physics. The location-specific aspect of it is what really intrigued me, and that's one of the things that that I think the Dead Whisper Project, for instance, Ron, why don't you give us a quick background on Dead Whisper, because I think this is a highly unrecognized and underrated work that you've done.
Dead Whisper, it's been out for about 5 years. It's also available on our website with a couple of other projects in a nice little package. But it was a it started off to be a psychic investigation. We went to Chicago, Chris and I, and we met up with some people that were just really, really talented ghost investigators. And we went to some haunted sites, and we didn't really think we had anything. We were trying to do a teaser to pitch a TV show around this psychic, and we filmed for 3 days. But when we got back, we started analyzing the EVP tapes, and we started looking at some of the photographic and visual anomalies that occurred during the investigations. And we realized that we'd captured stuff that neither one of us even believed in at the time. And so Dead Whisper was created, and it's to this day it's considered the definitive film on electronic voice phenomenon. And a lot of people that are ghost hunters, they all know it. So it certainly made a mark in the field. But, yeah, like Chris says, it hasn't sold 100,000 copies, and it hasn't been on TV. But if you're into that type of phenomenon, it's a film you should definitely have.
To discuss some of the real groundbreaking elements that actually were documented in the project, the time dilation effects really spring to mind. There's a couple of very, very good examples that are extremely hard to explain away of time, what appears to be some sort of time dilation or time effect phenomenon. Let's address that briefly.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna let you tell the one about the time dilation, because you've told that one more than me, and I think you've got a better handle on it. It was pretty amazing. What I'll talk about is what we call the interactive EVP, and the interactive EVP is obviously a reaction that you catch on tape. When you're in the environment, for those of you who don't know, you're using electronic voice recorders and you're recording on video cameras and everything else, and you don't hear any of the stuff that appears on the tape later. And it might only appear on one tape or one piece of electronic recording devices. But you don't hear it there, and it doesn't appear on everything. But then as you go through the stuff, you find these anomalous things that sound like voices. And there's a lot of poo-poo explanations for how this stuff happens, and a lot of people can say, oh, it's stray radio waves, it's this, it's that. But when it really begins to defy explanation is when you get what we call the interactive EVP. And in Dead Whisper, there's some examples of this. And one of the very, very most interesting ones is we had a psychic there, and he was saying that he was communicating with the spirit of a little boy. And he said, you know, we're in there, and he's talking to him, we're videotaping the whole thing, and the little boy's name was Adam. And the psychic says, what was your favorite time of year, Adam? And then there's a pause, and then the psychic says, Christmas. Like he was repeating the impression that he was getting from the spirit. When we got the tapes back to the studio and we're playing them, you can hear the psychic on the tape. And what we found is right before the psychic said Christmas, as clear as day on one of our pieces of electronic media, a few seconds before he said Christmas, was the word Christmas. It was so plain and easy to hear that it was undeniable. And what we did is we still have to this day the original tapes, not even tapes. This was like an RCA digital voice recorder. We have the original voice recorder with the original files, and we protected this evidence chain so that anybody that wanted to could come in and say, okay, prove this to me. Everything's got the timestamps. I don't know if there's a way to alter the recordings that are on digital voice recorders to interject pieces of faked material, but if there is, I don't know how to do it. But what I'm saying is we got an interactive EVP, and we got several, but this is a good example, where it's very, very hard to deny that something has left this word on this tape before the psychic said it. And so what we have is evidence of some kind of disembodied being communicating with the psychic, both through a psychic conversation, a psychic medium event, and an EVP event where by some kind of thought process or some kind of energetic projection process, they were able to put this word and leave it on this piece of RCA digital recording.
Okay, this voice, what was it, a male voice, a female voice, something in the middle, what?
Yeah, it was definitely a male voice. It was kind of a whisper. EVPs a lot of times come across as whispers, and there's a lot of theories about what is actually happening here. That we probably won't go into now, but there's a they usually come across as whispers. Sometimes they come across as distinct voices. We've gotten accents, we've gotten male, female. Our EVP expert actually went to an Indian burial ground one time and got even deep. This is
got ancient Potawatomi. That only a few people left knew how to talk.
Yeah, they listened to the tapes, and they said, you know what, this is a language that's not even spoken anymore. And, you know, how do you explain that? You go to an Indian burial ground, and you come back with gibberish, and it turns out to be an ancient language that nobody even knows. How do you explain that? You can't say that was a stray radio wave. That is some kind of energy leaving some sort of communication in some kind of uncanny way. And Dead Whisper, the film, captures a lot of that and lays it out in a very evidentiary process. And so that's why for a haunting phenomenon, it's a really interesting film.
Now, a lot of times, of course, you see weird things happening on these TV reality shows. We go to a haunted house, and here's what's going to happen. Now, in those cases, I expect most of that is staged, isn't it?
Well, you know, I can't speak for these guys. I know that that there's some of it is, and I know that some of it isn't. And there's been stories, you know, where, like, a ghost hunting show has been caught with, oh, there went a fleeting white figure in a sheet, and then they freeze the frames, and the fleeting white figure was wearing tennis shoes. I imagine when you're under the gun to collect paranormal evidence and every week you have to deliver, perhaps there's compromises that take place. But that's why Chris and I don't make paranormal TV shows. We make DVDs and we make original media, and we take a year to do it, and we put it out. And then we
So you don't have a producer coming back and saying at 47 minutes into the show, the first ghost appears, and at 48 minutes, everybody is running out of the house, and you capture their screaming and yelling, and then you have the music, and then you go right to the commercial. When you come back, they discuss it. You can't have that because, obviously, that may not be what happens in the real world. We have Ron James with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.